Hello?
Hello!
Doo-doo!
Hi, what's up?
Goo-goo! Doggy! Boo-boo!
You don't know how to speak still? You can't talk? We need to send you to classes?
Dada,
that's your dad. Yeah, probably.
Come on, Alan. Get out of there and head
downstairs.
Cocky, yuck, yuck, yuck. Dada.
Mommy, I put something on the TV for you.
Office. Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye to everyone. Yes. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, September 4th. 2014. It's a little after 2 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm just all flustered. We do have a show planned today. We're going to talk about ISIS and Obama talking about no strategy. We're going to talk about the leak of nude photographs of celebrities from iCloud. We're going to talk about Oculus, and there's been an increased buzz about Romney 2016, so we'll talk about that a little bit, too. So, before we get to any of that real stuff, do you have anything light and frothy to start out the show with? Because I was trying to think real quick, and like...
I don't know. I've just been very busy.
Yeah.
It's just been like, you know, a whirlwind of busy. I don't know.
Your kid's in school now.
Yes, yeah. He is. He's.
How's that going? Still painful?
He is not crying at the school. Okay. It's really the delivery.
Well, yeah, and this is as any parents listening know, like the hard part at especially at first is dropping the kid off in the morning.
It's just the drop off. He just every time, and then now he's coming home, and typically I usually put him to bed, and now he is on a cling to mommy with every fiber of my body mode.
Right. Because you never know when she might try to leave you at school.
Right. Well, actually, she's not even leaving her at school.
You are.
School. I am.
Right.
Right. So Well, then,
so you're the one who sucks.
Yeah, I'm the bad guy, apparently, because I'm the one that goes takes a minute.
It does get better, Yvonne. It takes a while.
I'm sure it does. It's just, you know, it's just not easy being green.
No, it's not. It's a brand new thing, and for him, and for you, and for everything else, and
yeah,
you know, and you know, as you know, for Alex, he started school at 18 months, and you know, it was rough for the first few weeks, and then it got fairly decent after that for a while, and then as I've talked about before, we had a period of like 3 months. I guess it's a year ago now, last summer, where his school was screwing things up and he was really, really unhappy. And then it got worse again. But it had been better. You know, and when we moved, we also changed schools because, you know, the old school was now like, you know, a 45-minute drive away. And so it got worse for a while after the change. And but now, you know, he's all settled. I shouldn't quite say that. Today, or you know, Wednesday earlier, yeah, whatever, was his first day back at school,
and
yeah, look, we had him in school for the summer too, but it was fewer hours. It was like 4 hours over the summer, and it had only been like, you know, they had like a week and a half break between the summer semester and this. So it hadn't been that long since he'd been in school. But this morning was the whole deal again, like clinging, and like we had to like, you know, grab him bodily and push him into the classroom and all this kind of stuff, you know. But yeah, you know, it was his first day back at school. He'll be fine tomorrow. I mean, it had been like literally a week and a half since he'd been at school and had been just fine, you know?
What was he doing? Okay, so my question is, when he wasn't at school, what was he doing that he was so clingy that he didn't want to go to school for?
Well, you know, he spent the day, he's, well, look, I've worked from home some of these days. The other times, it's just been him and Brandy. And, you know, basically, you know, it's a holy terror around the house. You know, nobody can get anything done. You know, he's playing trains, he's playing cars, he's playing with his iPad, he's watching shows. He had been, back in the day, it was Thomas and Chuggington and all that, and he'd moved on from that. And earlier in the summer, he was watching Transformers.
I hate Thomas and Friends.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
He was watching Transformers, specifically the Rescue Bots Transformers. But then the last couple weeks, he's gone back to a show that he was watching like 6 months ago, and we thought he was done with it, but now he's back at Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. He's all over that, like, right now. For the last couple weeks, and you know, we're kind of tired of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse at this point.
Yeah, that Mickey Mouse Clubhouse also gets pretty. You get pretty tired of that one pretty quick.
Yeah. So yeah, I actually liked Rescue Bots was a welcome change, you know. But you know, anyway. So he's at this point, like every few weeks he switches up like what shows he likes to watch, but you know, he'll watch it to death while he's on it. But you know, the TV part is only a relatively small part of the day. He'll actually self-regulate. He'll be like, I'm done with TV. He'll shut it off, and he'll go on and he'll be doing other stuff. And also, let's see, other summertime favorites, playing with the hose outside. Just in the last few days, I've been trying to encourage him to ride his bike.
Uh-huh.
And he's gotten on it for a total of maybe 90 seconds. But
90 seconds.
Maybe okay. 90 seconds. And he's actually like made it go and stuff. I mean, and this was the first time he'd ridden it in a couple months. But his latest thing is he gets me to get on my bike and ride around while he chases me. And okay, that's exercise, but I'm like, I'm trying to get him to ride his own bike, you know? But anyway, so, and of course, he wants to chase you, but you can't go too fast. You have to go slow enough that he can possibly catch up with you. And it's kind of hard to go slow on a bike.
You're not going to really break a big sweat by doing that. Can I be honest?
Oh, I don't know. It's actually kind of hard to go slow.
Okay.
Because you have to, because you're going slow enough, so it's just barely balanced. So you have to be wiggling a lot to keep it from falling over. And you know, and I go fast in between anyway. Of course, now for me also, this was like my first time on my bike for more than a few minutes at a time in probably 3 or 4 years.
God almighty.
Probably 3 years. Yeah, so yeah, we've ridden back and forth around the neighborhood, and you know, and of course with a bike, if you're on a bike for the first time in years, you know, you get sore in certain areas that haven't had that experience.
That haven't had that experience in a while, really.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, I'm
enjoying riding the bike. I'm like, okay, let's go out riding a bike. I wish he would ride with me instead of chasing me on foot, so I could go a little bit faster. But you know.
Ever since my bike was stolen about 7 years ago or so, I basically given up on the whole thing. I used to ride a lot, but no.
I rode a decent bit back when I was in New Jersey, but that's over a decade ago. I basically have barely touched my bike since then. But you know, I enjoyed it, but you know, there's not like. There are a few like within my neighborhood. I'd be comfortable, but like I can't go very far without getting to like a big street, and I don't like riding my bike on big streets.
Nah, the big streets. Yeah, I'm with you on that,
and certainly not with Alex.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but even without him, I you know, I don't get these, and this is a whole other topic, of course. You know, the people who use their bikes as their primary mode of commuting and such. I mean, I guess on one hand, you know, okay, you know, all for you if you can do it, but you know, the whole thing of cars and bicycles on the same roads just makes me incredibly nervous, and like. I'm like, okay, I get, you know, all of the benefits of commuting by bike if you're within range of being able to do so, and
sure,
and you're willing to do so, and you're in shape enough to do it, and all that kind
of
stuff.
And if you've got predictable weather, can I be honest?
Predictable because, weather, you know, helps a lot.
Yeah, because if you've got really unpredictable weather, then that really could suck a lot.
That's true, but you know, people do it anyway. People do it in the rain. People do it in the snow.
Look, I know some people that used to do that. They try to avoid it when the weather was bad.
No, I know. But some people do anyway. But my whole thing on this is, I mean, and I reckon, and this is one of the things is actually a fairly big thing that comes up all the time in Seattle, because like a bicyclist was killed by a car just last week, I think.
Well, this happens over here too.
It happens, yeah, because fundamentally, like, you know, you can say as much as you want that the cars have to pay attention to the bicycles, and they do. But you know, you're just, whenever they're in the same space at the same time, it's two fundamentally different classes of vehicles, and in the end, there are going to be accidents. And I feel much more comfortable if you had them segregated. Like, okay, here's where you go.
You guys have bike lanes.
We have bike lanes, but they're bike lanes. Like, if you're turning right off the street, you'd have to cross the bike lane to do it, you know?
I will tell you that one of the big problems we have down here with the cycling is that a lot of cyclists, and there's been a whole big crackdowns down here on this, is that you're supposed to follow the rules of the road just like anybody else, right?
Of course.
And we've got a lot of cyclists that we're very popular cycling down here who don't. They will run red lights. They will go through this. They will go through that. They don't understand. Well, why the hell are I getting an accident? Well, you just freaking ran through a red light. You're supposed to come to a stop, or you're not supposed to be in packs that completely occupy the road. You're only allowed to abreast, and a whole bunch of other stuff. For example, we've also had some accidents where we had some people. Actually, there was a really bad one where somebody got run over and killed by a drunk driver in the morning, you know, and some other stuff. So yeah, that's been happening too, you know, but it's been a big,
like I said,
brouhaha down here.
I don't feel comfortable either saying, hey, the bikers are doing something wrong or the cars are doing something wrong. I think fundamentally the right answer is to separate them. You know, and I understand bike lanes, but like, if you're going to do bike lanes, you need real separated bike lanes where there's walls or bushes between the cars and the bikes. Yeah. You know, it's not just a line drawn on the road, you know? And you know, I'd even be in favor, you know, if there was really good biking and really good public transportation. I mean, some of places have proposed like taking a section of downtown and making it a no car area. Okay, whatever. I just think that the places where they coexist are just fundamentally asking for trouble.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And I know both camps say, like, well, I have a right to be here. And, well, yes, you do have a right to be there. And, yes, the other guy should be considerate. The car should be watching out for the bikes. The bike should be watching out for the cars. Everybody should be following the traffic rules to the letter. But that's not real life. You know, that's – so you end up with these accidents. And you know, many of which are very, very avoidable. But I think fundamentally, like, you know, have your bike areas, have your car areas, keep them the hell apart. And, you know, frankly, if you could go down that same line to some degree and say, you know, cars shouldn't necessarily be in the same place as 18 wheelers either, you know, but, you know, there seems to be less trouble there. But, you know.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot less trouble there.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, who's counting? Anyway,
all right. So we have real topics. Why don't we take a break and then start our real topics?
Real topics, real news.
Yeah, although I guess, you know, bicycling policies in major cities is kind of a real topic. It's just not one that I'm, you know, super conversant in.
You're not. You're not. You're not. You're, you're, no.
other than when push comes to shove, I say keep them separate. And if you can only pick one, I'm sorry, I'm a car guy.
I'll go with the cars.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be back after this. Enjoy this exciting, you know, whatever it is that if you're a regular listener to our show, you've heard 10,000 times. We'll be back after this.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganairRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're back.
You are?
I am. I think I am. I think I am. I think I am. I think I am. Where do you want to go first, Yvonne?
I don't know. You pick.
I'm just going to go in the order I've got them written down then.
All right, there you go.
Let's start with... the continued developments in Iraq and Syria and all of this kind of stuff, but specifically the place I wanted to start, because I was actually at work, so I didn't tweet about it. But I was listening on my headphones. I think I was actually working from home, but nevertheless, I was working from home, so I just had it on my headphones and I didn't comment on it at the time. But Obama had a press conference. He was taking questions from the press. Somebody asked him something or other. I mean, he'd been talking for a long time, but somebody asked him something or other. And as part of his comments, he said something, and I should have brought up the quote in front of me, but he said something along the lines of, "We don't have a strategy for that yet."
Yep.
And the second he said that, he said that, I slapped my forehead and was like, he is so going to regret using those words.
And I'm like, Even if you didn't have a strategy, can I be honest? Why in God's name would you say that?
You know, if he was up for re-election, we would be hearing that over and over and over again for the next 2 years. And yeah, honestly, we may hear it anyway. But, you know, it's like this is one of those classic, you know, election season gaffes where, you know, you just say something so incredibly misusable where your people can nail you for having said that and forget the context, forget everything else around it, that, you know, it's just, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. And you know, the whole staff behind the scenes, when they heard that,
just slapped themselves on the head. They're like, whoa, what?
It's like, no, no,
no, no.
And of course, people jumped on it within seconds.
Oh, come on.
It was all over.
You throw out something that juicy? I mean, seriously? I mean, what the hell?
Now, of course, you know, you can always say a number of people have been trying to explain, you know, he was only talking about strategy for this particular part, or, you know, look, they're being cautious, they're evaluating the situation, they're blah, blah, blah. There are all kinds of reasons why this was actually, you know, if you're being rational about it, this is, you know, perhaps a reasonable thing to say.
Look, I know
that
you're evaluating your options. Let's face it, even like you and I have discussed, I was thinking about this, like, regarding this whole issue, I mean, got a big problem about the answers because, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, think, what if Romney had won the election or put anybody else in there, right? What would be the real change? Say McCain was still presidente. What? So we'd be in there guns blazing with a whole bunch of people? Would everybody be really be happy with that? Probably not.
That is probably what would happen, but no, I can't imagine a lot of people would
probably not be thrilled about it. Okay.
Well, I mean,
you know, I think about all the different options related to what the situation is like right now. And I was looking at for example, you know, presidents tend to do really badly in this part of their at least the ones that I've been alive, okay, all right, and experienced. In this part of their second term, I have seen, okay, let's see, four presidents in this situation. It was Reagan, Clinton, Bush, and now Obama. Yes. Okay? This period in between after the second
election. Frankly, you and I don't have good memories of it, but before that, the last second term president was Richard Nixon, and he didn't have a very good second term either.
Exactly. And those first 2 years were a disaster as well. So think about that. So Nixon, Reagan had Iran-Contra blow up in this part. Clinton had the whole thing with after like the shutdown, all the shit. It was not a good period, and it's wound up getting to the Lewinsky and impeachment thing. Okay, Bush had the surge. Okay.
Yeah.
And now Obama with this, and I was like, I was looking up the numbers, like. Bush, and this was before even the economy imploded under the previous Bush administration, his approval ratings and disapproval ratings were even worse than Obama's at this point. And Obama's are bad, okay? But apparently, I don't know what the hell. I'm trying to figure out what is with this second term syndrome where these two fucking years, what the hell is it? I'm trying to figure out. It's just they can't never get anything done.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, it's the lame duck stuff. I mean, we're not quite in the last, we're not past the midterm yet, which is when it really goes downhill from there. After this November, we will see absolutely nothing of substance happen for 2 years, absent reactions to major events. Right. Now, and you know, it's because everybody's concentrated on who's the next president. And, you know, you have a very limited time period where, presidents really are able to do a lot, certainly legislatively, but, and we know with Obama, with the mixed Congress, that was going nowhere.
Right.
But even otherwise, the closer you get to the end, where it's the known end, the guy's not running for re-election, he's now more concerned about his legacy than trying to run for the next election. It changes the dynamics completely. And of course, you know, another part of it is we talked about the scandal type things. Fundamentally, they just need some time to percolate. I mean, many of the second term scandals were actually about things that happened during the first term. It just takes a while for the momentum to gather.
Maybe there's going to be a whole bunch of nude selfies of Obama showing up on
them. I mean, you were listing those examples. Watergate was in the first term. Iran-Contra right. was in the first term. Lewinsky right. was in the first term.
Right.
You know, Obama doesn't have quite something like that yet. Who knows if something will turn up, but all of these things were first term things that ended up causing problems in the second. I guess George W.'s example was a lot of the revelations of how screwed up the Iraq stuff was.
Intelligence or lack thereof.
The actual events again happened in the first term, but the information about it came out in the second term. And I think that's a normal pattern here. Another part of this, just in terms of the no strategy yet, getting back to that. I mean, of course, what he was really trying to say was that they were cautiously evaluating the options and what the choices were and what to do. And they were, looking at the situation, basically. And I think that the actual no strategy yet comment was in response to a question about going to Congress for authorization of doing something in Syria. So it was specifically about not the Iraq part of what was going on, but the Syria part of what was going on. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. What I come to it at the end is, again, like, Obama in his book coming up to the 2008 election, one of the things he said that struck me, which is also one of the things that always wanted to make me slap the people who thought he was a diehard liberal, is in terms of foreign policy, the president he admired most George H.W. Bush.
You know, who said this?
Obama.
Okay.
Obama, in his book, when he was talking about foreign policy, I mean, he also listed Ronald Reagan, actually. Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, he held out as examples of people who did it right. Okay? And, you know, what was George H.W. Bush pilloried for all the time, especially towards the end? Wouldn't be prudent, you know, because he was known for being cautious and careful and thinking things through.
Right.
And he was raked over the coals for it because it wouldn't be prudent.
Right.
And for God's sake, I'm sorry. I want my presidents to be thinking cautiously and being prudent and not rushing headlong into things without thinking. I'm sorry. Maybe that's silly of me.
No, I know. I'm with you. I just think
now, that... That's not to say I agree with everything that Obama's choosing on all of these things, but but I'm actually glad for someone who's willing to step back, take his time, let events unfold a little bit before jumping in and making a rash decision on something. And if anything, I criticize Obama for some of the times where he's dived in anyway. But like, you know, because he was criticized for taking too long to decide what to do in Afghanistan. He was criticized for, you know, taking too long on this and for... You know, and everybody, there's all this criticism, and most of it has been from the right, of course, but some of it has been from Democrats as well, you know, criticizing him for just being not engaged enough, not pushing things forward enough, not being aggressive enough. And I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but yeah, I'm happy he's not as aggressive as all these people want him to be. Because sometimes the right thing to do actually is to just sit back and watch and see what happens and wait for an opportunity to maybe do something, or maybe an opportunity never comes and you just sit back and watch and you deal with what comes up. You know, the right answer is not always go in there with guns blazing and be yelling at people all the time and telling them about how evil they are and jumping up and down. And this applies just as much to Ukraine as it does to ISIS. You know, and you know, we're probably going to talk about Romney again in 2016 stuff in a later segment. But this is exactly where this kind of temperament stuff does matter. Because, yes, honestly, Romney probably has more of this wait and see temperament than others, but McCain certainly would be going in with all guns blazing.
Yeah,
Clinton probably would be going in with all guns blazing. I want somebody who's going to sit down and calmly look at situations and not be rash and take their time and think things through. And if there's no clear path to success, don't freaking do it. You know?
I hear you.
So
I'm with you. I do want somebody who's analytical and wants to to be honest, I think my key thing about my frustration in some of these foreign policy things hasn't been that we haven't gone guns blazing into stuff. I actually been okay with that at some point. I mean, to a certain extent, I think it's just been our inability to marshal our allies into a cohesive strategy regarding a whole bunch of these things. Whether it's the Middle East or Ukraine at this point.
But I somehow don't think that, you know...
I don't know if the president is to blame for that. I don't know.
I don't know that he can just, you know, jump up and down and yell more and suddenly all the Europeans will be in line.
I'm not asking for something. More yelling. I guess it's not the... But I think, obviously, a big... I was looking at one of the surveys, and obviously, one of the things that has been a thorn in our side... at this point, especially in relations with Western Europe, has been the whole fucking spying incident and how trust in the U.S. has, for example, in Germany, I saw a poll that showed that before this whole thing came out, I mean, German trust in U.S. was about at a 75% number, and right now it's dropped down to a 35%.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't blame them.
Well,
you know?
Although there are lots of people who jump up and down and say, well, that's nobody's fault but Edward Snowden.
No. Snowden is guilty of some things, but it's not that part.
I used the analogy on one of the weeks that I did a solo show, that's like saying, you know, if someone sees, if you're married and somebody, and one of your wife's friends sees you out having an affair with another woman.
That you're blaming your friend, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're blaming the guy who tells your wife, "Oh, guy, I saw your husband out with that woman," as if it's her fault that your marriage is falling apart. No, guess what? It was your fault when you had the affair.
Well, I fucking agree. It's the fault of that other fucking person, fucker.
Everything would be just fine if I hadn't been caught.
Exactly. It'd fucking be perfect. What the fuck are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Oh gosh!
Yeah. Well. No. I mean, and I understand. You know, in some cases, you're like, okay, whatever this is so valuable, it's worth taking the risk. But if it's worth taking the risk, then you have to be okay with the consequences if it becomes public.
Right.
Otherwise, you shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
You know, if you can honestly say, okay, I'm doing this. It's a secret right now. But if it all becomes public, that's cool. I'm good with it. Then, okay, fine. But then you need to be okay with those consequences when they do happen. You can't be like, you know, that guy ruined everything because they made it public.
No. I hear you. I hear you. But anyway, but... Okay, so basically, bottom line.
But there are probably people who could be who could have finessed the relationship with the allies better than Obama and company have. I don't know. That's probably true. But I don't see, you're not going to fundamentally change the dynamics, you know, of how Europe sees the world versus how we see the world, versus how Russia and ISIS see the world. They're fundamental differences.
Oh, no, yeah, those parts are definitely, yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax. And I get that. I think it's just, I mean, look at where we are right now. And I guess to a certain extent, I mean, I don't know who you said it yourself. It may have not made a difference who the fuck was president. I mean, I don't know how much of a difference anybody could have made with the cards being dealt. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know everybody loves to say they could have done better, but I'm looking at, great, what do you do? Israel and Gaza, for example. the whole mess about with Afghanistan and Iraq. The fact that we haven't been able to close Guantanamo, for example, is reading about this before. Apparently not because of a lack of trying. It's just on and on like that, you know? Eh. I don't know. It's frustrating, but I don't know that there's much anybody could have done better.
Each of the possible people who could have been president over the last few years would have done things a bit differently. But
substantially differently.
It would have been different, but would it have been better? Would it have improved the results? I don't know. I can certainly see a lot of them making things worse. I honestly believe if McCain was president, this would be worse, not better.
I 100% agree.
You know, but
I 100% agree.
But I don't know that, could Romney have done it better? I don't know. I figure Romney, Obama in this particular situation, I honestly think it would be roughly the same. But you know, the thing that you always get with all of these people who are slamming, you know, the president and over and over for these kinds of things is it's very easy to say what he's doing sucks. And honestly, this was true back with Bush too. But
we didn't need to go to war.
No, we didn't. But the point I'm making is a lot of the people who are doing the criticisms will say what he's doing sucks. it's much, much rarer than you hear somebody actually come out and say, and we should do this instead.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Oh, gosh. Yes. Heaven forbid. Don't propose an idea. That shit ain't happening under anybody's watch.
Aside from just general platitudes like be more aggressive, you know, what the hell does that mean? What exactly do you want to do and how would it make it better?
Be more aggressive. Beatable. Beatable. No. Okay, all right. Well, I don't know.
Let's take a break.
Yep.
We'll be back after this. Enjoy.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we are.
We are here?
Let's do the other newsy thing first, and then we'll put the two tech things at the end.
We are here?
We are here, I think.
Okay.
Well, all right. I'm here. You're just a disembodied voice, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Since we were talking presidents and politics and blah, 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 Romney 2016.
Romney!
I mean, we actually talked about this a few weeks ago and made some jokes about it.
Reason he said it was because he had said so unequivocally that he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, so the two things that happened in the last week and a half, whatever. One, there was a new poll released in Iowa of Republican caucus goers.
Caucus,
yes. You make that joke every time. You need to get a new joke.
I need to get a new joke.
Okay, you need to get a new joke.
All right, I'll work on it.
Maybe you can, yeah, whatever.
Okay. I'll work on a new joke. I'll work on a new joke.
Anyway, the poll actually had a really small sample size, so there is that. It was one single poll of Republican caucus goers of who they would want to vote for in the Republican primary. And actually, they did, if I remember right, they did it in two questions. One was not including Romney, and then how would your vote change if Romney ran? And basically, if Romney ran, he would run away with it in the Iowa caucus specifically.
Wow.
Now, again, small sample size, one poll, blah, 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 blah. The other part of it that happened is that Romney did an interview, and I forget who with. And every other time been asked this question, he's been very unequivocal that his answer was no. He did not want to do this. He was done. This time, he was hectored a little bit more, and he did not say yes. He said the chances were very, very small, and he really couldn't see that happening, but he didn't actually say no. he said, I believe he actually said the chances would be like 1 in 1,000,000.
Well,
but that's not zero.
That's not zero.
And a couple of people have pointed out that, there are a number of, stories that came out, I guess after he lost last time around, that he didn't actually want to run in 2012 either. But his family talked him into it in 2012. And who knows if I believe that or not, but you know, that's what they were saying. I believe Tag Romney said that in some interview. Apparently, here's what's driving all of this talk about Romney. A lot of the people who were on his staff involved in his campaign last time around want him to run again. And they're trying to recruit him, basically. He doesn't want to, but there's a big group of people who wish he would. Hmm. And the further along we go in this process, without any of the other clear sort of establishment candidates looking like they're jumping in, looking like they want to run, so we're talking Bush. and Jeb Bush. We're talking, who are even others? I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we had basically, Bush was talked a lot about. He's, I don't know if I really want to run. Christie has definitely acted like he's wanted to run, but he's been damaged. Who knows if it's a fatal blow or not, but he's been damaged. And so, you know, the establishment types are looking around and saying, you know, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz,
right,
Paul Ryan. Of those three, Paul Ryan's probably the most, the closest to establishment like, but even he was, you know, known as being a little bit to the side there. You know, so the establishment types are like looking around going, what the hell? You know, every other election cycle, we've had a clear person that we could throw our weight to behind by this time in the cycle. Right now, that's all like, who knows what's going on? So maybe we can get Romney to run. Maybe we can get Romney to run. And it, you know, and honestly, if you saw a situation where nobody else from the establishment Republican group was getting in, let's say by next spring, then maybe you do see a really big push with a lot of people saying, come on, Romney, please get in, please get in. Here's a lot of money. We've already raised money for you. Please get in, please get in. And, you know, it's one thing to say you won't run. It's another thing to continue to say you won't run when polls are showing you as the front runner and people are lining up behind you trying to get you to run.
No, I know, but you know what? How many election cycles we've had somebody being like begged to run like that and they don't?
I mean, last time people were asking Bush to get in.
Right.
And we had, almost every election cycle, there's been somebody who everybody's like, is he going to get in? Is he going to get in? Let's get him in. Let's get him in because we don't like all the people who are running now. How about this guy? And usually it's, I mean, last time all that buzz ended up being around Perry. That didn't work out too
well. Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
No. But most of the time, and Perry actually did end up throwing his hat into a ring for a small amount of time.
But that was a disaster.
That was a disaster. But, you know, most of the time, these folks end up actually not running. I mean, if you remember back in 92 or whatever, when Clinton was the eventual nominee, everybody kept talking about Mario Cuomo and would he run?
Right.
Yeah, and he didn't. You know, there have been a number of times where...
Ozio. Oh, no, that was the fake one. Right. That was in the primary colors. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Who else were there? There have been a few others like this, right? I mean, where, you know, everybody's looking for the savior, and the savior doesn't come.
No. I hear you. That's been... Yeah. I mean, it just hasn't happened. So that's why... I mean, typically, I really think that the guys who've kind of, like, declared, like, to this point, usually the pool of people is going to come out of that.
Yeah. I mean, well, and nobody's officially declared, but I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's
right.
You know, who's putting their name out there a lot.
Right.
You know, and yeah, we got Christie, we got Paul, we got Bush, we got Cruz, we got Ryan. If you stretch a little bit further, you've got Rubio and maybe Plenty and Huckabee and maybe Jindal. You know, those aren't being taken quite as seriously so far, but at least their names are out there. You know, on the Democratic side, you've got Clinton and Biden basically, and if Clinton doesn't run, you do have your Cuomos and your what's the governor of Maryland, O'Malley or somebody has basically said he's going to run.
Okay.
If it's him, he's actually said, I believe he said in an interview, he will run even if Clinton does. Although he's, yeah, that'll work out. I don't know. I can see the Romney scenario. The Romney scenario exists.
But you know, I don't know. Would that really make it an interesting cycle or another boring cycle?
No, actually, I think that would be interesting. I think Clinton versus I think Romney would do better against Clinton than anybody else we've been talking about so far. I think I think Romney might have beaten Clinton if he'd been the if Clinton had been the Democratic nominee in 2000. Romney never had to, you know, rewind. Clinton versus Romney, I think, would be a tight race. I think he's of the Republicans that been talked about, he is the one that would be best off against Hillary right now than anybody else out there. Now, I do my stupid poll thing, which I will be officially launching probably within the next month and a half, certainly before around the November elections. But there has not been a single state level poll that include Romney in it yet. With all this buzz about him, I would be surprised if that's still true a month from now. But there has been no, and even head to head polling on a national level, I haven't seen Romney's name included. I would be eager to see that. I think Romney would do better than a bunch of these other guys. And that's just a gut feeling at this point for me. I have no facts to back it up. But my feeling is that Romney would do better than any of these other guys against Hillary Clinton right now anyway. Who knows what would come out of a campaign. But, you know, Hillary's all inevitable and stuff in the Democratic primary, and it still looks like nobody else is coming up against her if she indeed decides to run like everyone expects her to. But she's got a lot of vulnerabilities as a general election candidate. And one of the reasons that in all of these preliminary polls, she looks so strong against all these Republicans is all of these various Republicans have big flaws too.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's, yeah, you don't have like a very, I mean, the problem is, to be honest, to a certain extent, if you think about it,
Romney does
the
have
parties,
flaws too. I shouldn't, yeah, obviously.
But listen, the problem is the parties, right? Okay, if you think about it right now, they have big flaws basically because in order to pander to their bases, it's a clusterfuck at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
more
far
on the
worse.
Republican side, but it affects the Democrats as well.
It affects the Democrats as well. I mean, yep. It's far worse than it used to be. I mean, because, you know, we talked about how politics were very centrist 20, 30 years ago, you know, in terms of like what the difference between the positions of the Democrat and the Republicans were. But like right now, in order for you to get the fucking nomination in the Republican Party, you have to really count out to a lot of lunatics. You do.
Yeah. And I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago how, you know, if you go back to like FDR's time, how much the vote swung back and forth between elections, because there was this huge group in the middle who would, you know, support the Republicans one time and the Democrats this time, depending on what was going on. And the one thing that is clearly visible through, popular vote totals for president. Electoral College is something else, but I'm looking right now. Actually, if you want to Google it, I posted this on November 11th, 2012, a week after the presidential election, a few days after presidential election, 100 years of context. And you can Google it search site:ablesmay.com, 100 years of context. It'll come right up. Or look at the election 2012 tag. It's like the, you know, and scroll down, you'll find it. But, you know, it's absolutely one of the only trends that you can see over the last 100 years is presidential elections have gotten closer. And why have they gotten closer? Because the middle is getting squeezed out. Because you used to have, you know, like I said, this huge group of people who could go Republican, could go Democrat, and every few years it changed, you know? Now, even when it swung back and forth, I mean, looking back, you know, the last landslide was Ronald Reagan in 1984, the last real landslide, and that's when, it was basically a 60-40 election on popular vote. And, you know, 60-40 is not that huge. If you go back to 1924, it was 65-35, was the election. And FDR in the 30s was also like he had two thirds, you know, as well. You don't see that anymore. I mean, and you shouldn't say anymore, because you never know. You get 20, 25 year cycles and some of these things. There could be a landslide again. I'm not saying it could never happen again, but certainly since 1984, you know, margins have been much, much smaller.
Yes, they have.
You know, the of recent years, I should be cautious of what recent means. Since 1984, the biggest margin was Clinton in 96 when he got 55% of the vote. And that, wow. And you know, it's 3 hours. So, I don't know. But anyway, yes, you're right. Things are getting more polarized. That is a clear trend. And one of the interesting things that came out, you know, Pew did all of these surveys a few months ago, and I probably tweeted links to it, but you can Google it. But Pew came out on a lot of political sentiment surveys. Pew. And one of the things, someone actually has a Twitter account set up that automatically, whenever Pew announces a new poll, just tweets pew 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 pew. Anyway, the point is, polarization amongst elected officials is really going out there. But if you look at polarization of the public at large, there is some movement towards polarization, but nowhere near like the polarization amongst elected officials. And it's because of the dynamics you're talking about here, which in order to get the nomination of your party, you have to go really far to one side or the other. And so, guess what? There are no elected officials in the middle anymore, or very, very few. And I don't know that that's ultimately healthy, but at least one thing it does is it means when you're going into the election, you have a clear choice usually. Now, even when I say that, there are a lot of things that both parties agree on. And if you disagree with those things, you're kind of out in the wilderness. And, right. And, you know, and so like some of the consensus, like we've spent a lot of time in the last year talking about, you know, Snowden and surveillance and all of this kind of thing. All of the major candidates in both political parties fundamentally line up with, you know, Snowden was a traitor for what he did. The surveillance is basically okay. Maybe we need some minor reforms, but it's basically okay what we're doing. And you're not going to, you know, you of course have Rand Paul as the exception that proves the rule, but you know, everybody else is pretty much on the same page in those things. Hmm. So,
well, all right. So
anyway, I would actually like to see, I think it would be in the interesting scenario on the Republican side is all of the candidates we have right now, screw around a little bit in throughout next year, and we don't have a clear front runner, but the one guy who's ahead more than anybody else is Rand Paul, because that's basically because everybody else is splitting the rest of the Republican Party and he has his little part, and so he's looking like he's a little bit ahead, not necessarily like an out and out like he's got the nomination, but he's a little bit ahead of everybody else. The Republican establishment gets incredibly scared because they don't want Rand Paul, and yeah, they recruit Romney again.
I think that would be fun. Or maybe they'll bring Quail out of the barn.
You keep hoping for Quail.
I keep hoping for Quail.
Quail's happening.
Oh, come on, man. Wouldn't that be great if we had Quail again?
I don't think Quail's happening. Sorry.
Damn.
But
who else we got that we could like recycle out there? I don't know. Quail. Who was Reagan's VP?
H.W. Bush.
Oh, that's right, of course.
I think he's getting up a little up
there. Yeah, he's a little bit too old. Yeah, he's a little bit too frail. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about Jesus Christ. Duh.
Who's Reagan's vice president?
God, it's one of those dumb moments. Mondale!
Isn't he dead now, too?
Is he?
No, he actually did something recently. Did he die? Okay, you know, now we have to...
No, we have to look it up.
No, he's not dead. He is 86. He
died. There you go! Mondale!
He is 86.
There you go! Come on, Dale. Come on. Or Dukakis. Would that be something? The Bondale Dukakis stick. Yeah, oh, boy.
I don't think that's happening either.
You don't think that's happening?
No.
Let me see. I don't know. Maybe I should buy that domain. Bondale Dukakis 2016. There you go. Let me see if it's available. There you go. There you go. It is. There you go.
You just go for that, okay?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I will say this. It, at some point, it's going to happen. That's especially because, you know,
by the way, Dukakis is also still alive. He's 80.
He's 80. Okay, 80. Great. Okay, at some point. By the way, I was seeing this article that the fastest growing age group right now in the U.S. is in the 90s. Okay, yeah, all right. Yes. Okay, it's just the reality. You're going to see that we're going to get a ticket with some 80-year-old guy on there.
Well, I'm telling you. Because he's like, these young whippersnappers don't know what they're doing, goddammit.
Yes, I think so. I think in our lifetime it's going to happen.
Well, maybe. I mean, we're certainly talking about 70s already. I mean, yeah. You know, we were talking about Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, how old's Biden now?
70, what the heck is it? 73, 75?
71.
Joe
Biden is 71.
Right. So we were estimating that if he ran for president, so he would take office when he was 73, 74?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, everybody thinks of Reagan as being super old as president, but when he was inaugurated, he was 69.
Yeah, he's a young whippersnapper.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I want to see Romney in the mix. I think it would be fun. The more the merrier at this point, you know?
I like this Mondale Dukakis 2016 gig. I think I'm going to start. See if I can draft some people. I wonder what happens if I buy the domain. You know, what the
domain and put some very basic content on it, and then, you know, it'll take off, and, you know, they'll be recruited, I'm sure.
Yes. There you go.
They'll push Clinton right off of the headlines.
Yes.
Because who would want Hillary when you could have Dukakis?
And Mondale. All in one ticket.
Oh, Yvonne.
Anyway.
Yvonne. But we'll see. I mean, and of course, Bush is also of the same category, where right now he's like, no, but he hasn't actually said no as much as Romney has, but he's left the door.
Said no, not more recently, but he had said very firmly no in a couple of times earlier, but he'd done a Romney where he had been extremely firmly no, and then he was, not as firm.
I think it's time for a break.
Breaky.
Break. We'll be back after this, and we'll switch gears to tech-related stuff for the last two segments. Back after this. Hey, you, listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam. That's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled ABULSME. Or tweet at us. I'm at abulsme, and Yvonne is at imbo. That's imbou. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that. Okay.
Sorry about that. There you go. Okay.
What? Where?
My computer was doing... What? All sorts of things again. Anyway, all right, so where are we now? Since we've been running long and longer.
Nude pictures.
Oh, well, my favorite topic. Anyway, yeah. I will say this, okay? You know, so I had a very... So I saw this whole thing about the pictures, right? And I thought about seeing them. I have actually not seen them.
I have seen them.
You did?
Well, at least the one woman. I haven't. There are a whole bunch of celebrities leaked. I have not seen all of them, but it was fairly. I mean, I didn't have to really go looking for them. They just showed up on Twitter.
Oh, I know, but I actually avoid. I will admit that at first I clicked on one or two, and I was like, you know what? I felt.
I didn't even have to click on anything.
I felt like
I
was prying into people's things. I just didn't feel right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get you. I mean, I did not go searching. I did not go looking for it. You know, now that Twitter includes images by default and all the clients do, I mean, I see all kinds of things that I probably would not click on. And, you know, hey, I don't mind nice pictures of naked women. I'm not saying that at all, but I
no, agree. That's not it. But the problem is that these were not like they volunteered these are not, to go and get the, they, these exactly, were their exactly. personal pictures.
But you know, I see, I've seen all kinds of people from dead people from war zones. I've seen all kinds of pictures. That's one of the problems with the default Twitter view at this point is like somebody tweets a link to a picture, you just see the picture. You don't have a choice. You don't. I mean, I there's probably a way to block the pictures and only see the text. But, you know, they're usually OK to see the pictures. But like if somebody tweets something objectionable, boom, it's there. But in any case, so the background to those who don't know, there's a famous hacker board called 4chan. All kinds of shady stuff goes on there. If you check it out, it's really confusing place. Like I went there once just to see what all the hubbub was about and was not particularly impressed. But it's, for the most part, a bunch of immature kids going off about whatever and sharing hacks and sharing pictures and sharing this and sharing that. And in this case, somebody posted a bunch of pictures they'd hacked from a list of 10 different celebrities. And apparently a good fraction, if not all of the pictures were from iCloud, specifically Apple's picture sharing thing. And specifically, it looks like the mechanism that occurred here is people can set up iCloud to automatically back up your pictures to the cloud. And that was going on here. I have my phone set to do that.
I have mine to do that too.
And then it looks like there was no systematic break into iCloud. It was people specifically targeting these guys and essentially brute forcing their passwords. And security questions.
Right. Exactly. Yes. So, yeah. So it wasn't exactly like there was a flaw or something, whatever. They just, you know what? They knew who these people were and they just, apparently they may have had passwords that were a little bit too simple, something, whatever. I don't know.
Well, and people have shown time and time again that like, even if you don't know the password, you know, the whole thing where you call up with security questions or whatever, the security questions are actually the weak link, especially if people actually answer truthfully.
Right.
So like if you're a celebrity and your security question is your mother's maiden name. Or where did you go to high school or something like that, chances are people can find that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And frankly, like even me, I'm not a celebrity, but like I have my genealogy information online. My mother's maiden name is a freaking open book. You can find that out in a half second. You can find out with like a few seconds of Googling where I went to high school. And even if you didn't guess the exact school, you could tell what city I was in. And from that, guess what? There were two high schools in town. You got two choices.
Let me see. How fast did it take me to find out what high school I went to?
Well, here, do you know what high school I went to?
Frederick, somewhere, Maryland, it took me. I found it. It's on my LinkedIn profile. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Find my high school. Well, Samuel I continue to rant for a second.
High
but anyway, like, if you're a celebrity and you don't use, you know, boom, people can break in. I mean, and we've talked before about, you know, passwords and how sucky passwords are. You know, look, and apparently Apple did have potentially a vulnerability that didn't rate limit when someone was trying to brute force. So, like, if people kept trying over and over and over again.
Governor Thomas Johnson High School.
That's correct. And where did you find that? Was it on my own website?
Actually, it was on your LinkedIn, too.
There you go. See? And these are the kinds of questions people ask, or like, what street did I grow up on? That might be a little bit harder, but you could find that. You could find that.
That'd be impossible to find in my case. But those are definitely more difficult. That's for sure.
Well, there are some that are more difficult than others. But the point is, if you answer truthfully and someone is really determined to target you specifically,
and if you've got an idea what the hell the questions are to go look for the stuff, then right, you could fucking figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, look, if you're a celebrity or a well-known public person and someone is actually willing to spend money on it, I mean, hell, hire a private investigator to go find out.
Right.
You know, dig into the records and you know, figure out that, you know, you lived on such and such a street when you were 10 years old and give it a shot, you know, or whatever. I mean, all of these mechanisms are fundamentally breakable. Some of them are breakable easily, but none of them are secure if someone is determined. If someone is targeting you individually and wants to get at your stuff, any determined person can probably do it.
Right.
Now, is it legal? No.
No.
Can they do it? Yes.
Yeah.
And sure, are there precautions you can do to stave this off? Yes. But, you know, they're onerous. I mean, like, we've talked before, just simple password stuff. I do not follow best practices in terms of passwords. I don't have a different password at every single place. They're not as, you know, most of them are fairly good passwords at this point, but they're not different everywhere. I reuse passwords. I don't change them frequently, blah, blah, blah. How do I get around that? Okay, I'd have to use a password manager and blah, blah, blah. It's a pain in the ass. And every time one of these things comes up.
I want something with like two-factor authentication, some fucking thing that uses like my biometrics. I can fucking put it up to somewhere and it'll fucking like say,
well, you know, and
read my fingerprint, and fucking put the damn thing, here we go, go.
And I've actually turned on two-factor authentication at Google. I've turned on two-factor authentication at Facebook. I don't think I have it on Twitter right now. I probably should. But, you know, and most of my banking places don't offer it. Some of them do. But all of these things put the onus on the individual to do more inconvenient steps. And, you know, I was talking about passwords. If you really want to make that whole process play, you know, all these damn security questions, you have to have random answers for those security questions too. You can't give your real information. You have to do,
or you have to be able to, like, you know, give people like certain, because I'm like, sometimes like some of the, what's your favorite color? I'm like, fuck that, I don't know. Shit. I mean, there's some that are just in the main name shit. Now, I've seen a lot of places get wiser about those
questions. But, you know, to be secure on that, like, what is your favorite? Well, I don't think any of them actually use what is your favorite color, because there are too few choices.
I've seen those.
You've seen that? But, you have to answer what is your favorite color with chicken nugget, you know, or something completely unrelated to really be. And even then, you know, but to have a better chance of someone not being able to guess it, you just can't use a real answer to any of those things.
I used to like my secure ID token. Can I be honest? Okay, all right. I had my little thing. I had to punch in my code.
I still have something like that for work. It's a different company now, but the same idea.
And I like that. Can I be honest? That was just, you know, I'm sorry, make it biometric. So great. So I can't punch into code. Make it that I have the two-factor thing, has my fucking fingerprint. I fucking put it in. Then it creates a password. Then it goes as I mean, why the hell? I mean, and I should be able to use that for fucking just about anything.
And one of the things, you know, people have been compared to NSA stuff, one of the things you should keep in mind, what this one hacker does is exactly what the NSA does all the time for people who are they're targeting. They don't do it for everybody in the universe, but for people they're targeting, this is the kind of stuff that they do to get in. And, you know, now one of the things that has come up over the last few days since this has come out is a bunch of people out there saying, well, what the hell did they expect for taking those pictures in the first place?
Oh, geez, and come on. Give me a break.
Alyssa Milano, you remember her, who's the boss, Charmed, all this. She actually tweeted, I wish I had it up directly, but it was something along this lines. Stop pretending you guys don't send nude pictures of yourselves to people you trust. And, you know, and certainly not everybody does. But it's not.
Certainly, a lot of people have done it. It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon at all. And
I must admit, I don't think I've ever have.
I will admit, I have done it.
Oh.
Now I did not include my head.
but I will say I have not done it.
I on a couple of occasions, this was not a frequent thing, but there were people that I was flirting with or doing other things with, and they made a request, and I granted them.
Huh. Interesting.
It has happened. Now, of course, there was absolutely no guarantee that they wouldn't turn around and share it with all of their friends, and they probably did. But, you know, make sure my face wasn't visible, but you know, whatever. Even if I hadn't, here's the thing. You should have, if somebody breaks into account and steals your shit, nobody should be blaming you for having the shit in the first place.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, a number of people on those criticisms. By the way, you know, if anybody out there wants those kinds of pictures of me, don't come asking. I'm probably not going to do it again. You know, I'm sorry. I think those days are over for me. But, honestly, I don't actually give a fuck. You know, I don't care. I'm not super shy about such things. But anyway, look, a number of people have made an analogy. You know, this week, Home Depot had an issue with credit card information stolen. Nobody is out there saying, well, too bad you shouldn't have used a credit card. You served them right for using a credit card. They shouldn't have used a credit card. Nobody's saying that. Instead, people are saying, you know, what did Home Depot do wrong in securing the information? And that's the same thing here. I mean, in terms of now, okay, if one of certainly the celebs probably could have done things to be more cautious. They could have used better passwords. They could have used better security questions, whatever. But in the end, the person who's at fault here is not the celeb. The person who's at fault here is whoever broke in and distributed these pictures in the first place. And possibly if it's shown that Apple or some other cloud provider could have done something better on security, then okay, we can say, you know, hey, they should have done better on security and they should improve. But nobody, the right line is, well, you shouldn't have taken those pictures in the first place. Or, well, if you take that kind of picture, you got to expect it to eventually become public. No. That's not fair. You absolutely, positively should have the right to take private pictures for you and your close confidants that you don't expect for the whole world to see.
Yeah. But, oh well. My whole thing is just, I guess these people do it because, I don't know, they want to feel, I mean, the people that stole them. I guess it makes them feel empowered in some way. I don't know. Still trying to understand what. It's not like you're revealing. It's not like you're Ed Snowden. You just went and like you just broke into somebody's privacy and then plastered all their stuff all over the place. How's that? You know. what did you accomplish personally by doing that? You know?
Haha, you got to see him naked. Haha.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And someone pointed out, like, you know, this, it's not even necessarily the right way to think about it. It isn't necessarily even a computer crime. I mean, it's the equivalent of, you know, being a peeping Tom.
Yeah,
and like hanging out on, you know, climbing up into a tree outside of somebody's windows and looking in while they're changing or something. You know, it's more like that than it is anything else. You know, with the added aggravation that you're then taking pictures and sharing it with the public or whatever. You know, but again, it's like, whether you're a celebrity or whether you're just some random guy, you know, you or girl, or woman, you should have a reasonable expectation of privacy within your own stuff. You know, and
yep, agreed.
And frankly, let's say, I don't know how far to take the analogy. Like, even in your own home, if you don't lock your front door, it's still not okay for somebody to come in and steal your stuff.
Agreed.
And same thing here. If the celebrity, if their password was password or 1234, it still doesn't make it okay.
Or somebody's left themselves logged on into their computer to computer cluster, and then,
like,
you know,
like
and I fucked around
Jill
with
Jill Innocenti.
Yes. You remember the name. Holy shit.
Well, you talked about it on the show last year, I think. But
well, yeah, still anyway. Jesus Christ. It's not like, you know, fuck.
For those who didn't listen to that particular show, Yvonne had was a little bit of a juvenile delinquent in college.
I was bored.
He found someone who had left herself logged on at a public computer in college, and sent some emails to a public board that were disparaging, and got in trouble for that.
It wasn't disparaging. It was, well, no, I didn't call her names. They were let's just say that they were meant to create a ruckus, and they did.
You were lucky you didn't get thrown out of school.
I was lucky that I was not prohibited from ever touching another computer again, which is what I was told afterwards that would happen if I ever did anything like that ever again.
Yes.
Yeah.
you should look her up, Yvonne.
No, not really. I already did enough.
You could probably find out what high school she went to and guess her passwords.
I would like to not do that. Can I be honest?
We all regret incidents from our youth.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes. Yeah. She could be fine and good.
No, I probably regret some of those pictures.
So she's a great elf. Everybody regrets something, you know.
Anyway. They're probably still on my computer somewhere.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to know. I honestly, I'm trying to fucking erase that image right off of my head. Can I be honest? You know, can I be clear? I just, you know, I really, you know, I, it's not what I wanted to have in my head.
Uh-huh.
Like right now.
Okay. I should dig them up and send them to you.
No, thanks. I'll be fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be okay. All right.
Yes. Okay. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk briefly about Oculus. And we're going long again, of course. But
oh God, long and longer.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to break the 2-hour mark one of these days.
No. Let's try not.
Okay. We'll be back with Oculus right after this. Okay, we're back. So I have not heard this story at all. This is Oculus, Samsung, something or other, curved screens. What the hell? What?
Huh? Well, no, it was basically, well, you heard, you know, a while back that you know, Facebook had bought Oculus, right? Okay, so they make these 3D goggles, virtual reality thing that people were raving about, right? You heard about that buy, right?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, how Facebook is buying this. So I don't know if you've seen them. They're it's this, it looks like a, it's looks like a mask, okay? Like a snorkeling mask, diving mask, yeah, kind of thing.
And you put it over your head and it's got like two little monitors in it. So it gives you like a virtual reality kind of thing.
Right. So now.
You can watch Facebook in 3D.
I guess. So, by the way, which Facebook paid $2 billion for this company, by the way, in July. You know, we need to come up with something to sell to Facebook. Anyway.
Yeah. Or Google.
And now the thing is that, so they come out, Samsung came out with a phone, this new, you know, it's not the phone, their phablet thing, the Galaxy Note 4, they came in a new one. So they came out with this Oculus like new device in which you put the phone into the front of the thing, and apparently it becomes some kind of a virtual reality gear thing. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's called the virtual reality gear VR. Okay, a headset using Oculus software and equipped with a slot for a Galaxy Note 4, which acts as the brains and display for the virtual reality experience. Okay. Now, today, for whatever reason, there was a lot of noise about this, okay, and the fact that this was launched. Well, and my thing is that I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of this thing. While I think that in concept, it is kind of cool to have something that does all this virtual reality stuff, 3D, here's my take on 3D, and we talked about this before, okay? You know, look at all the fucking 3D TVs, right? Okay?
Uh-huh.
There is no programming. Nobody uses them. Nobody. I know so many people that have these fucking TVs with 3D. I have never gone into somebody's house and fucking put on those damn
glasses. Hey, my new projector, when I replaced my projector when the old one died a few months ago, is capable of 3D.
And have you ever watched anything in 3D?
No. I haven't bought the goggles to do it. And I would need other equipment to get a 3D signal that I haven't bought. But I haven't.
But you haven't been like with the urge of this whole 3D thing.
No, you know, because I'm like, I have this new capability. Like, I haven't run out. Like, I would probably need to replace my old Blu-ray player and then buy some 3D content. And then buy a few of the 3D glasses, because we've got like a family of four here, so we'd need like four of the stupid goggles.
Right.
And, you know, it would be a significant outlay.
It's a pain in the neck. Now, here's the thing about the Oculus thing.
I haven't felt like... Now, if I ever end up replacing some of those things, I'll get 3D by default, because everything has it, but I'm not running out to do it. I don't feel like I must have it.
So, I mean, while 3D is all nice and cool, okay, but there's a couple of things about this. And I'm like, I don't know. So, number one is the goggles cost $350. Without the fucking
the
phone.
The Oculus ones.
Yeah. Without the phone. All right? And you need a computer or something to drive them. Okay? All right? So, then you're talking, you know, and I'm like thinking... And the other part about this is, can I be honest? I mean, you know, Jonathan and I have definitely didn't design these things. Well, I mean, you look like a fucking dork wearing this thing. I mean, I don't know what the fuck you're going to use this thing.
Here's the thing. This is not, first of all, a lot of the things you've talked about in terms of 3D also apply here in terms of it's not... Yeah, the price will come down over time. There will be more content over time. It may take a long time, but these things will slowly evolve. In terms of the Oculus virtual reality thing, you know, the prime target audience is gaming, and the gaming audience thereafter is a specific hardcore group of gamers who are willing to spend a shit ton of money on their games and get something that's, you know, a 3D immersive environment to play. I mean, so it's not, I don't see this as, you know, you're not going to have, you know, people walking around the street wearing their Oculuses. This is going to be something that, you know, for a specialized application that takes advantage of the 3D, when you're going to go do that, you sit in your room and you put the things on.
Well, I think that the one thing is that my whole thing about it is that I get that. I just thought that today that there was a lot of people like, you know, all these crazy overreactions that were overreacting. It's like, oh my God, look how Samsung is so innovative with this thing. And I'm like, and I'm just like, look, it's a cool gadget. Okay. All right. I'm not going to say it's not. Okay. All right. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if we're going to be walking around and all these fucking people are going to be wearing these damn things and how many people are actually going to buy them. You know? It's just what I've seen with 3D is just that, you know, there's been a lot of 3D, 3D, 3D the last 5 years, and everybody's been like, meh. You know, 3D, oh, I mean, geez, 3D's been around for how freaking long? I mean, I don't know. I fucking put on those stupid glasses that we used to put on.
I will say, though, 3D has gotten better. And it's got in a couple years ago.
It's gotten better, but it's still not a big.
Well, a couple years on this show, I poo-pooed 3D even in the movie theaters, and saying, you know, hey, go to the 2D version if you can; it's better usually, especially if they did a half-assed job on the 3D, which they often do.
Yeah.
But now they're spending more time on the 3D. They're doing it better. They're doing more that are natively filmed in 3D instead of converted later. And so lately, if I'm actually going into movie theaters, yeah, I do the 3D option.
Yeah, but here's the problem. It's like the thing you mentioned. If you're sitting at home, right? Okay, and you want like, hey, you got like a few people. I mean, do you want to really be putting on some fucking extra goggles in order to watch a damn movie? The answer is no. Nobody wants to do that shit.
Because you want to be paying attention to the people around you.
Not just that, it's just because it's annoying to have to put on a fucking goggles in order to watch a damn program. And what if you got more people at the house? Great. So say you got 10 people, you got four pairs of freaking glasses, but or you know,
and
or
you got two glasses. Screwed.
The other people are screwed. It's just that's the thing. It just it's always a gimmick. It's a gimmick until like I said, you know what? You bring me a holodeck, now we're talking.
Well,
we're fucking talking. Well, that's 3D.
The idea of the Oculus is to be more like that because...
Yeah, but it's not because I got to be wearing that fucking thing. Well, yeah, I don't want to be wearing anything.
But the thing is, you wear the thing and then because it's so close to your head, it's immersive. It's not like watching a screen 6 feet away from you.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, what do I got to do? I got to be standing in a fucking room, make sure nobody fucking touches me because I can't see anything that's going on around me. Probably somebody fucking like takes off my pants or does something, whatever. By the time I'm fucking done...
And takes pictures and puts them on the internet.
Exactly. All of a sudden, I'm fucking naked wearing a stupid goggles, for God's sakes, for all I know.
Well, you know, look, the thing with that is, yes, when you're going to do that, you're going to want to be doing something that you're in the immersive world that's happening there. Now, there are also like enhanced reality things where you can see the world around you plus new objects inserted into them. I don't know if Oculus is set up for that. I think Oculus is completely immersive. But, you know, there are things that can be done here. But, yeah, as I understand the Oculus technology, yeah, you're basically going into the world of whatever video game you're playing and you're going to be there. And, yeah, you want to be in a space where you can walk around a little bit without bumping into things and you can, you know, you're not worried about the guy next to you, or if the guy next to you is playing too, they show up in your virtual world. You don't have to worry about where they are in the real world.
Right, and I get that.
You know, I could see it being fun.
I want a holodeck.
I could see the I could see it being fun to do that kind of thing once or twice.
I'm
not a gamer. I'm not the target audience.
I want the whole holographic experience. That's what I want. Fuck this shit. It's fucking bullshit.
Yes. I hear you, Yvonne.
Okay.
I a holodeck would be nice. I think we're probably a few years away from that.
Maybe not that long.
Well, there are people, you know, the one thing that I saw once that was the closest to that was, it was like a spherical room, mm-hmm. where the entire surface of the outside sphere was projector screens, basically.
Yeah.
And you sort of walked out into a ramp into the middle of the place. Uh-huh. And it was like an omnidirectional treadmill in the middle. So you could walk in any direction.
Oh,
and
okay.
The projections around you would change accordingly based on how you were moving.
I like that.
I mean, it was, you know, a super expensive mega room thing, but, you know,
great.
But it looked like it would be cool. Now, it was projections on screen, so you didn't quite feel like you were really, like, you didn't get, and I guess you could put 3D on the sucker, too, but it's not quite the same as the holodeck, really, but it was a lot closer. So there are people working on that kind of thing, too.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm asking for too much. But anyway.
I think we're done.
All right. You're done. I'm out.
We're out. Have a good day.
Evening.
Evening. Something. Evening. Week. Have a good week. All of our day, listeners, something. Have a great week. Email us, abelsmay@abelsmay.com. Yvonne is IMBo on Twitter. I'm abelsmay at Twitter. You know all the usual ways. We love hearing from you. And I guess we'll talk next week. Goodbye.
Bye, 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 bye.